There isn't a week go past where we don't talk about the OCN or the Owners Corporation Network in the Flat Chat website. But what is the OCN? Who's behind it? What does it do? What has it achieved? Today we're talking to Phil Gall, who is the chair of the Owners Corporation Network. I'm Jimmy Thompson. This is the Flat Chat Wrap. Hello, I'm with Philip Gall, Chairman of the Owners Corporation Network, which is for Australia, but mainly New South Wales. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you for having us here today.
Well, welcome to the Flat Chat Wrap. So first of all, for those people who don't know, what is the Owners Corporation Network?
The Owners Corporation Network is an organisation of owners' corporations. The members are strata apartment owners. It formed out of shared difficulties with strata defects, if I understand my history of the organisation correctly.
Yeah,
a lot of people started getting together and going, wow, we've got that problem too.
Right.
That's not what we thought this was going to be.
Yeah.
And the people at the time, back in the early 2000s, got together and started to form a network.
Right.
And now it's an organisation, corporation limited by guarantee.
Yep.
With a board, a modest budget, and we are continuing to work hard for apartment owners.
Is it just owners' corporations? Like, is it just strata committees, or do individual owners get to be members as well?
Individual owners can be members. Obviously, strata committee people are often the most active members because they're naturally inclined to work on behalf of people. But we have hundreds of individual members in the organisation, as well as almost 100 schemes, including some very big schemes. So if you add up the indirect representation, we're probably talking close to 10,000 people.
Right. That's 10,000. That's a lot.
It's a indirect, Jimmy. You know, lot owners don't always participate in the schemes that they're involved with. But so we'll stretch it a little.
Yeah, I was there. I was sniffing around the OCN when it was first formed, and I mean, it all obviously has come on in leaps and bounds from the early days. But you mentioned the budget, the limited budget. Where do you get your funding?
The funding has come from a number of sources in the past. We've had sponsorship, we've had member contributions, and we've had funds raised from seminars and supporters who actually, and donations. It comes from all sources. The future direction of funding is we'd really like to make it a member-driven organisation and rely much more heavily on member contributions.
Yeah,
that gives us independence, Jimmy, from the service providers that we sometimes get called upon to evaluate objectively on behalf of owners.
Right. Does the government throw any money into the pot?
Oh, that would be useful if it was done the right way. You know, the tenants' union and other representative organisations get government funding.
Yeah,
I think there's a case for it, particularly for the struggling strata schemes, the schemes with the lower income, high levels of rentals, multiple languages.
Yeah.
I think there's a real social need there because they rely very heavily on effective committees.
Yeah.
And they don't get effective committees in a lot of those buildings because people just can't even communicate easily, don't even understand the role of the committees and so on. So there's a real role for government funding, I think, in certain socioeconomic parts of strata.
Mm. So this whole thing of education and half of it is making people aware, isn't it?
If people are like I was when I came into strata, I came out of a house. I thought I started off with an investment property initially, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. I couldn't even spell strata, I don't think. Now here I am, you know, with a lot of wounds and experience in dealing with the complexities of strata, including some difficult buildings and some difficult committees.
Yeah. So what has OCN achieved?
OCN has, my friend Karen Stiles calls it, the mouse that roars.
Right.
We have, in my recollection of the organisation, which doesn't go back as far as others, there was a major reform process in 2015. Strata Schemes Management Act includes quite a number of improvements, which OCN was at the table with the then Fair Trading Minister. We were heard, so we were able to affect new good government policies affect strata.
Hmm.
Long way to go, but that Strata Schemes Management Act is better than the one that preceded it, and a lot of the experience of our members was brought to bear, and our representatives were brought to bear on that process.
But you've got to, I mean, I know you don't want to blow your own trumpet too much, but your success with the the holiday letting, the Airbnb issue?
The holiday letting was, it was a real concern before the regime came in or was announced last year, that over bylaws, the ability to make bylaws to manage holiday letting in, in apartment buildings. The government's reforms on that leave a lot to be desired, but the one success was the unequivocal right of owners' corporations to make a bylaw prohibiting short-term letting.
Yeah.
That legislation hasn't been proclaimed yet, but it's been through both houses and it's waiting to go. The rest of that package is a disaster.
Yeah.
It illustrates just how poorly governments understand strata.
Mm.
Very few government members probably live in strata. They might own investment properties and don't care very much what happens except as long as the money comes in, but they certainly don't understand what it is to live in it.
Yeah.
You know, there's 1.2 million residents in New South Wales alone live in strata.
Yeah.
70% of the new housing in New South Wales is strata.
Yeah.
We've got a marginal electorate out there at Coogee on a knife edge, and we're struggling to get to see the local member at the moment to talk to him about strata.
He understood
it to the point where he was party to the bylaw, so I don't want to be too critical.
Mm.
But most of the senior people within it certainly isn't ranked highly in government. If you look at where it's placed, it's just another part of fair trading, you know, along with toasters and consumer products and so on. We really need a major lift of its profile within government.
Yeah, I mean,
Strata Commissioner would be good.
I was talking to Alex Greenwich.
He's the one guy that does get it.
Yeah, and he was telling me that, you know, the day they were about to announce a very similar set of laws to the disastrous laws they have in Victoria, which is basically open slather. It was going to be 365 nights a year.
Oh, short-term letting case.
Yeah, and literally the microphones were plugged in, the cameras were on the tripods, the ministers were about to announce it, and then suddenly, according to Alex, there were MPs in the corridors in Macquarie Street going, what is going on here? What is this law that we're about to announce? And suddenly everything was unplugged and packed away, because there was a revolt on the cards within the government, within the Liberal coalition. I mean, what took them so long to get what was happening?
That was a backbench revolt.
Yes.
I believe there were factions involved, but it was also probably a realisation from some of the backbenchers who live in electorates that have strata. Coogee was one of those.
Yeah.
Certainly out west was another one, Ryde. Drummoyne was the electorate, I think. They looked at it, and I think they're starting. The backbenchers are closer to the ground.
Yes.
They understand that this converting residential schemes into hotels does not go over well with their voters.
Mm.
You know, they bought homes, retired people, first homeowners, and they want to come home from work and have a bit of peace and quiet. And know their neighbours like you do when you live in a neighbourhood with houses. They don't want to have people coming and going and knocking things around and using their facilities all at the wrong time of the day, and particularly if it's on a large scale.
Well, it's like the, you know, for years the government has been selling the idea of the vertical village, and now it's a vertical holiday camp.
Well said. Well said. That's exactly right.
Yeah. But, I mean, it just, and that's the other thing that still astonishes me, and I've been writing about strata for a long time. People are saying, well, it's my property, I can do what I want, I'm not breaking any laws. And you say, well, look at your planning approval. Your planning approval says, in most councils, this is residential. You cannot let it for any less than 30 days. And somehow, somewhere in the mix, somebody redefined residential so that it could be a holiday home and residential at the same time. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, our swimming pool's a really interesting focal point. It's where the community gathers.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're a homeowner and the holiday makers were coming in and using your swimming pool and you didn't know them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that all hell would break loose. But here we are in a community where we've got a community swimming pool, and folk come in who aren't part of the community for a couple of days. They don't know the rules by the pool. They don't read the Bible. They're not interested. They just want to have a holiday. The glass that goes into the pool is our problem, not theirs.
Yeah.
The noise at the odd hours of the night that everyone in the community understands is not appropriate, they don't get.
I've often said, if I or someone else was to run a campaign as grubby as Airbnbs. You know, this is a poor old lady who can't pay her strata levies unless she has a Swedish backpacker staying in her spare room, which means that everybody gets to do commercial lets at the same time. They conflate the two very nicely. I think my campaign would be, who's in the pool with your kids?
Indeed.
That might get, yes, that might resonate.
Well, I understand you're talking to some of my colleagues about short-term letting a little later on another podcast, and they're a lot more familiar with this issue than
yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
But one person put it to me, Phil, just do a quick count. If you've got a third or half of your apartments in your complex, and we've got over 100 apartments which are short-term let, do a quick count how many visitors that is a year. 50 times 55.
Yeah,
That's starting to get into the then there's a cleaner every time they move out.
Yeah,
the number of folk coming and going down your corridors right next to your front door.
Yeah,
day in day out, knocking stuff around, people you don't know, people from all kinds of backgrounds. It's a hotel. It's not a home anymore.
Yeah,
it becomes a hotel.
And it's funny because the number of people who book into these short-term lets, they say, I don't want to go into a hotel because of it's too restrictive. What are you being prevented from doing? When you're in a hotel, you're being prevented from partying all night and keeping all the other guests awake. Mm-hmm. And there's somebody on the front desk who will come and knock on your door and tell you to calm down.
We've got 5 entries in our building. No concierge, no track of anyone coming and going. It's not set up to be a hotel.
No.
And for my kids, who are trying to find somewhere to live, there's 36,000 places that were once residential properties that are now being let out as holiday places. That's a big hit on the housing market.
Yeah, but this is it comes back to this thing about politicians. I'm not the brightest bulb in the Christmas tree, but I can see the effect that this is having on housing availability and rents. You can see that. Everybody we talk to can see that. The only people who don't seem to be able to see that are our politicians, because Airbnb turns around and says, oh, well, it doesn't have any effect on rents and it doesn't have any effect on availability. And the politicians go, oh, thanks, great. Oh, we believe
certainly
you.
Not the experience overseas, Jimmy, is it?
No.
A lot of places.
No, it's ridiculous.
It's getting
but that's the other thing. You know, they do surveys of the whole of Sydney and they say, do you like Airbnb or do you not? And people go, oh, you know, I might want to stay in an apartment in Paris someday. Mm. So, yes, I do like
it's a good
Airbnb.
Idea. Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Would you like to have different people every weekend in the apartment next to yours? Well, I think that would be a completely different answer. We shouldn't get obsessed
no,
with we've Airbnb.
We've got other things to talk
we've
about.
We've got other things to talk about. I am with Phil Gall, chairman of OCN, the Owners Corporation Network. He's come in to talk to the Flat Chat Wrap, and we need to talk about this event that's coming up.
Indeed.
It's the cladding seminar.
Don't get burnt by flammable cladding.
That's as good a slogan as I've heard. I just as an aside, I got a post on the Flat Chat forum the other day. Somebody said, we didn't even notice this, but our strata managers just charged us $600 for a cladding survey and check. And he said, we're a 30-year-old brick-built building with no cladding on it. How can they possibly justify? So you can see that already, you know, the sharks are out there. The sharks are out there trying to make a profit out of what is, you know, a pretty disastrous situation for many apartment owners. But the cladding seminar, it's on March 16th.
16th, yes. Great bunch of speakers. We're trying to bring people together, as we did with the short-term letting.
Yeah.
We brought people together and we're able to achieve things.
Yeah.
Still a long way to go on that, so let's not pretend we're there on that topic. But we'd achieved a lot more by bringing people together than if we hadn't have.
Right.
The tradition of the Owners Corporation Network is that people with experience or without experience learn from people with experience, and the people with the experience are happy to share the experience.
Right.
On cladding, we've got some owners who have been through the process.
Right. All right.
We have some who have been through the process. They're well advanced. They've done the engineering. They know what they're up against. They're putting the specifications together. They're looking at how they're going to fund it.
Yeah.
you know, we'd like to bring the folk who aren't through that process together with those folk and build a bit of an action group, if you like, on cladding. In the same tradition as Owners Corporation Network has done on so many other things. We looked at it and we said, look, first of all, people want to know what the technical issues are. So we've got core consultants who are experts in this stuff, and they're highly regarded by some of our members. They're going to come along and talk about the technical side. It's a complex issue. It depends on how much you've got, where you've got it, how it fits in with the rest of your fire systems, what it's made of. Just because it's aluminium on the outside of a building doesn't mean you've got a problem.
Right.
But you could have a very serious problem. Apparently some 400-odd buildings in New South Wales have already been identified as having a serious problem.
Right.
And there's a registration process. People need to know about that. That's now complete or supposed to be complete. So we've got the technical folk. And then the issue arises, well, my sinking fund has only got so much money in it, and now we've got a problem with big project.
Yep.
What are we going to do about funding this thing?
But you're assuming that in the majority of cases, the owners' corporations of each building will end up paying for the cladding to be replaced. So that's assuming that these buildings are all older than 6 years. Or is it just a case that we've got Buckley's chance of getting the developers or the builders to pay for it?
First up, it's a safety issue.
Right.
And the owners are on the hook to protect themselves and the residents.
Well, regardless.
So regardless. So once you're aware of a problem, you've got to fix it.
Yep.
So obviously there are potential legal avenues depending on where you are in relation. If it's a new building and you're in the first 2 years and you've got a solid builder there, you've got a good chance.
Yep.
Because, you know, there's a statutory warranty that covers that. If it's within the six-year period, you got some chance. That's being played out at the moment. The government has declared it a major defect.
Right.
But that's being challenged by developers and builders saying, hey, that's retrospective legislation. You can't do that. So you've got some chance.
So the developers and builders are saying this thing that could put your building up in flames is not a major defect. Why is it not? Because you didn't tell us it was before.
And then, of course, you've got common law.
No.
But my point is, it is complex. Getting your refund from somebody is a complex issue.
Yep.
We've got Maurice Blackburn speaking at this seminar to explain to people how class actions might work.
Right.
Because that is another path, one that I don't understand all that well. And when we talk to a lot of strata owners, they get a bit anxious about it and not uncertain about how you play these things. Maurice Blackburn know a lot about class actions, and there's a few other law firms out there now who are already going down this path. And they're looking at, you've got this, all had the same builder, and you've got seven owners' corporations have had the same builder and they've done the wrong thing. Maybe there's a, you know, class action potential there.
Yeah, but, I mean, we know the reality of strata life is you don't know what other buildings were built by the people who built your building.
Until you get in a room and start talking to folk who've been through the same process as we did in the early days with defects, Jimmy. And there's also potential class actions against the original manufacturers.
Right.
Okay, which are being explored by various people, various lawyers. And so there is, the bottom line is people have to work out with good technical advice where they sit, what they're confronted with. Do they have to do anything? If so, what have they got to do? How much is it going to cost? And if they've got to get on and do something for the safety of the building, get on and do it.
Yep.
But make sure the records are all there, and at the same time in parallel, find a way to get some of that money back from somebody, if it's possible. The financing thing I was going to mention, no one likes a special levy.
No.
But there's a thing called strata finance. So we've got the Lannock people coming along to talk about...
Yep, know them well.
Talk about how they can help. If the government would come to the party and put some cheap finance on the table, that would be very helpful.
Well, it's very, very interesting. Down in Victoria, they brought a plan there where you can apply to your local council. And they will provide the finance and it gets added to your rates. Apparently, only one council in the whole of Victoria has bought into this because it's optional on the councils. The councils get to choose whether they want to do this or not. So they're looking at, I know all councils everywhere, their budgets are as tight as anyone else's. So they're looking at, do we have the wherewithal to give low cost loans to apartment blocks? And as I think there's only been one deal struck in this. It sounded like great on paper, Yeah. But, you know, it's exactly the
same. Why would you delegate that to councils? I'm talking off the top of my head here.
Yeah.
But why would you do that? Surely the process that each council would have to go through would be the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And in determining whether, you know, the money should be put and passing the money out. The fiduciary risk assessment's the same. So you've got every council in Victoria doing the same thing, duplicating the work, if you like. The ability of councils to raise money. Who's got the lowest credit rating in New South Wales? The New South Wales government.
Right.
Triple bloody A.
Yes, yeah.
Who can raise the money at a low interest and make it available for something?
Yeah.
Centralise a single process. I'm going off the top of my head here, but this is it's yeah. extraordinary what happened in Victoria. I guess what I'm getting to is that there are, when we get together and we start talking about these issues
yeah.
with the people, and we've got a little bit of resourcing, we can yeah. go, we can start putting some of these things in front of government, saying, yeah. "Look, here's a better way to do it. We can find low finance capital. We can have a system. These guys are on the hook. They can't get the money. In the end, it's your crummy regulation of the building industry that's actually landed us here.
Yes.
So your fingerprints yeah. are on this, boys. So you know there's a way.
Yeah. Do you think the government's been a bit? I mean, they've been very active and they claim that they have the best response in the whole of Australia to the cladding issues here in New South Wales. But from what I can see, it's just basically sending councils out to check the outsides of buildings and then sending letters to the people who live in the buildings and then getting the ones that have been found to have cladding to daub themselves in, basically, put themselves on a register that you've got cladding and therefore you cannot wriggle out of fixing it. And nobody wants to wriggle out of fixing it. But it just seems to me that the government could be doing a bit more to actually help the owners of the apartments to get some sort of, to get it fixed and then to get it resolved.
I hate to say this, but it may take another death or deaths.
Yeah.
People have lost track of the site that this is a public safety issue and a yeah. big one.
Yeah.
You know, in preparation for the work ahead on this, I've been looking at some of the videos of Dubai,
yeah,
London,
yeah,
La Crosse. When you look at those videos and you look at the way this stuff goes up, and the frightening thing it would be to be in one of those buildings when it does,
yeah,
the urgency with which governments everywhere are treating this just does not match the situation.
Is it too emotional an issue? Are we looking at actual risk? You're an engineer.
Mm.
You're going to come at this from an engineer's point of view, an immensely practical point of view. What do you think?
Fire systems are they're an integrated system. All the parts have to be working together. One of the fundamental principles is to contain the fire to its point of origin for at least an hour.
Right.
And if you go into any apartment, properly built apartment, and not any apartment, just properly built ones, that all the fire collars and all the things between slabs, there should be effectively a firewall, but little cubicles where the fire can't get from one apartment to the other.
Right.
Starts in one apartment, the people freak and leave.
Yeah.
There's a fire door they leave behind them, can't get through the fire door for an hour. That gives time for firemen to get to the building,
yeah.
put it out.
Yeah.
It gets time for people to get out. It gets
yeah.
time for the sprinklers to come on and prevent it going any further.
Yeah.
It is a fire system. And where the cladding comes in is it breaks that principle. It takes the fire from one cubicle to another cubicle to another cubicle very, very quickly. And that's where the risk arises, because the overall system of getting the thing contained while the action happens to put what's there out
yep.
Is broken.
Right.
Is Grenfell was an absolute perfect storm of fire safety failure.
Yeah.
And what can happen when it's all done badly.
Yeah.
And it's a bit belts and braces in fire. So if you've got two of your three braces on, you're okay.
Yeah.
But, of course, a lot of apartments aren't always maintained. Some of them aren't built properly in the first place, those.
Well, this we know.
You know, and I'd hazard a guess if you poke beyond the cladding, you'd find a lot of problems in a lot of apartment buildings that are just as serious.
Right.
Mm. But hasn't got the coverage yet.
No, because fire racing up the outside of a building.
It looks pretty spectacular.
Yeah, it's always going to get on the news, isn't
well,
it?
Well, from a person who's had to think about the fire safety in a building that I once owned, seeing it go from one cubicle to another cubicle to another cubicle in a matter of minutes frightened the hell out of me.
Right.
And I thought, you know, that's not what's supposed to happen.
Right. Yeah. No, fair enough. There have been other issues. I mean, I obsess on the risk factor.
We're not in the third world. There's a lot of things in the buildings that are doing very well. But so you know, you might have two out of three of the braces in most buildings. You know what I mean? So,
yes. Yeah. I mean, one of the things that strikes me is if you to take down the risk in a building that has cladding, two or three of the fires in the big fires that we've known in Australia have been caused by cigarettes.
Mm.
And in fact, the Lacrosse was a cigarette that had been not stubbed out in a plastic container. Mm. Which the one in the Neo 200 was a cigarette that had been flicked off a balcony and had been brought back in by, you know, the breeze. Why don't we just ban smoking on balconies?
Well, it's interesting you raise that, because there's a building down at the quay which has which is in a bad way with cladding.
Right.
They've been put on notice. They've got to fix it. And they're in dispute with the builder-developer.
Yeah.
Over responsibility. It's within the 6 years and outside of the 2 years.
Right.
So there's a big argument going on about whether they can make a claim under statutory warranty. If they can't make that claim, the owners are on the hook on average for $50,000 to $60,000 a lot.
Wow.
$50,000 to $60,000 a lot. And the strata manager responsible has done the right thing. They put a notice to the owners telling them of all the precautions they need to take in the meantime, including don't smoke on balconies.
Right.
So that's a stopgap. I don't like people smoking in my building, but people, poor old smokers have got to smoke somewhere. They can't smoke on a balcony.
Well, that was one of the reforms brought
It was, and it's one of the hot discussion points in most committees too, I'd imagine.
I wonder if anybody has actually got one, because I imagine it's going to be like a glass sort of semi-covered area.
Smoking area, yes.
Smoking like you see in airports overseas.
Not and the old chestnut of barbecues on balconies, the same deal. This building, the warnings have gone to folk. Be aware that you've got an issue.
Yeah.
We're doing our best to get underway to fix it.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you guys. Meantime, we're going to try and recover it.
Yeah.
That's going to cost you some more in legals.
Yeah.
And while we're at it, don't smoke on balconies. Don't have barbecues on balconies and et cetera, et cetera. So all done everything they possibly can in the meantime to ameliorate the risk.
Mm. Well, I mean, bylaws would be the simple way to fix those two things, the smoking. I mean, people don't realise that the balcony is common property.
That's right. That's right.
So you can pass a bylaw governing behaviour when people are told they're not allowed to put washing on the balcony.
It's quicker for the strata manager to protect his backside by putting a notice up there first up. Yeah. And then we'll wait till the next general meeting to get the bylaw fixed. And
Absolutely.
But it's important that people know straight away what the risks are, isn't it?
Yeah. So tell me, just run through with me again for the seminar. Who's going to be there? I'm going to be there.
Oh, that's one of the best aspects of it, Jim. You know, we've got Paul Morton from Lanark. He's going to talk about funding. It's interesting. A lot of people know about Lanark and strata funding, but I'm surprised how many people don't.
Mm.
And his rules are he will fund for any purpose, strata purpose, which includes legal fees.
All right.
And he can set up lines of credit at very low cost. So he's going to talk all about how you can do that. And while the interest rates aren't the lowest, if you've got good cash flow and you don't have to borrow it for very long, you can avoid the big special levies by using that service. He's going to talk about that. We've got Julian Schimmel
from
Maurice Blackburn.
Right.
Yes. He'll be talking about, he's got 11 years of experience in complex class action litigation, and he will be explaining to people how class action can help them out in these situations, and what they need to do to be part of that.
Right.
We've also got Peter Carter, who's the Associate Director of Core Project Consulting, who'll talk about the technical issues. He's had an enormous amount of experience with project management, actually fixing things, as well as identifying, their company can identify what you actually need to do and write reports and those sorts of things. So he'll be able to take people through the technical things that they've got to do and the kinds of people they've got to use to work out what needs to be done, if anything, and if they do need to do something, how they go about it.
Right.
So we've got those three three folk, because I'll be having a bit of a chat about OCN and why it's useful for us all to get together on this,
yep,
and try and establish a continuation of the seminar and into further action. Unfortunately, politicians we've invited have been unable to make it.
Well,
they think it's more important to be in the marginal electorates than sitting around with strata.
Why would they think that?
I can't imagine. But could it
be that they're trying to save their backsides?
Yes. Well, it's a tight election.
And, it's going to be.
It's going to be very tight. And maybe they didn't want to talk about building defects at all.
Yes, it could be.
Well, that was Phil Gall from the OCN. Great to talk to him, and we'll have more from Phil next week because we had just too much to talk about. Also, next week, I'm hoping to be talking to Yasmin Catley, the opposition spokesperson for fair trading and all the other things that we have to deal with in strata. That should be really exciting. Now, we forgot to mention in our chat about the seminar, the cladding seminar. It's on March the 16th. I will be hosting it. There's more details on ocn.org.au. That's the OCN website. It's got all the details there. You can book to go to the seminar. You can where you'll see me. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast and all our other podcasts. If you have, please subscribe through whatever service you get the podcasts on and share with your friends or anyone else in Strata that you think might be interested. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Jimmy Thompson. Talk to you next week. Bye.